Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. We're at agenda paper 11, which is the IFRIC update newsletter from May, and providing the record of the proceedings of the Interpretation Committee meeting on the 14th and 15th of May. Now, there was one item on the Interpretation Committee's agenda that it discussed at that particular meeting, and this was related to the recognition of deferred tax assets for unrealised losses. And this is an issue that you'll recall was part of the annual improvements programme from one of the previous cycles and was discussed by the board in December. And at that stage, both the staff, the Interpretations Committee and the ISB decided that this was an issue that really warranted additional analysis and consideration of a narrow scope amendment. So the Interpretations Committee has been looking at this and looking at some analysis. The issue is all about whether or when you should be recognising a deferred tax asset for certain unrealised losses on debt instruments. And the conclusions or tentative conclusions from the Interpretations Committee is that it should recommend to you an amendment to IAS 12 to clarify those circumstances as to when the deferred tax asset should be recognised. So we will bring a paper to you to a future meeting, providing you with the full analysis and details of that recommendation. But as part of this, the Interpretations Committee also was informed about proposals at FASB for addressing essentially the same issue, actually as part of their classification and measurement part of financial instruments, rather than a separate deferred tax project. We've been looking at that, and the conclusions that the Interpretations Committee reached, they also observed would not always give you the same answer as the proposals that the FASB are making or intending to make with relation to their project. So we'll obviously include in our paper that we'll bring to you details about that and where the differences are. So although it's not necessarily it clearly isn't a joint project, we just want to be conscious of where there may be differences given the similarities that there are between IFRS and US GAAP on deferred tax accounting. The Interpretations Committee...
Can I ask you a question on that?
Sure.
You're surprised at this question.
Okay.
But why do you think we should change the standard rather than you give an interpretation?
Okay. This comes down really to the clarity of IAS 12 and the ease to which people are able to apply it in these sorts of circumstances. There are aspects of the standard which we feel can be clarified, not changing the concepts, but clarifying for people how it should be applied. And really from an efficiency point of view, it makes, I think, a lot of sense to do this in the form of an amendment to the standard rather than attempt to do an interpretation. I don't really think this particular issue lends itself so much to an interpretation.
I guess my concern is that that's the answer you're coming to on almost every question that you're getting lately, and it's an entirely new trend. And the problem with going into a standard and making changes is you have the possibility of opening up all sorts of other questions once you've opened the standard and start looking at things. Whereas I thought the idea of the Interpretations Committee was to clarify these issues where there's diverse practice and without having to disturb the standard.
I think where the issue is about explaining what something means, then an interpretation is an appropriate instrument to use. Where we're clarifying how to apply the standard, then I think giving that additional application guidance or clarifying the wording in the standard is the better way to go. The committee also looked at some past tentative agenda decisions that it had published for comment and finalised those. I don't plan to go into any detail on those unless you had questions on them. But I did want to mention three tentative agenda decisions that it had discussed and has published now for comment. These tentative agenda decisions are open for comment until the end of July. They relate, first of all, to an issue related to classification of an instrument as to liability or equity in accordance with RS 32. An issue related to IFRS 10 and whether protective rights or rights that are classified as protective should be reconsidered when facts and circumstances change and triggering and a reassessment of control. And then the third issue was relating to IFRS 5 and the application of the held for sale classification criteria when you're disposing of assets or a group through an initial public offering. Now, with each of these three, the Interpretations Committee analysed these and felt that there was sufficient guidance already in the standards to reach answers and has set out, certainly in the first two, what its conclusions would be in the circumstances that it looked at, and in the third one on IFRS 5, clarifying or describing its analysis of those criteria for held for sale, and as a result is proposing not to add these to its agenda and to finalise these as simply agenda decisions. But as I say, that's open for comment and it will look at those again at the September meeting. The committee also looked at a number of annual improvements. Some of these were final, looking at comments received on the most recent cycle, and Leo's going to bring a paper on those to you just after I finished this presentation. It also looked at two issues for a forthcoming cycle for annual improvements. One related to IFRS 5 on change of disposal method, the other one relating to IFRS 7 and the applicability of those disclosures to servicing agreements. The servicing agreements one will be familiar to you. It's an issue that we brought to you in February and asking your opinion on the application of IFRS 7 to servicing agreements. We fed that back to the Interpretations Committee, and as a result of that, they're now recommending an amendment through annual improvements. And we'll bring papers on those to you at a future board meeting. Then the other issues, just a couple to mention really. One is to do with IAS 28 and equity accounting. The committee was looking at an issue related to the elimination of gains arising from a transaction between an investor and its joint venture. We'll bring a paper to you at a future meeting that will detail that. The question here is about the elimination of the gain on that transaction and how that should be accounted for. And then the other item I wanted to highlight for you was to do with IFRS 3 and the definition of business. The Interpretations Committee had asked us a while ago to do some outreach and analysis on issues related to identifying when you've got a business versus when you've got a purchase of assets, so when IFRS 3 would apply and when it wouldn't apply. And through various pieces of outreach that we did to a range of stakeholders, so looking at different industry groups, looking at reaching out to auditors and regulators, we had pulled together there a summary of the issues that are being faced. Now, the objective here was for the Interpretations Committee to consider the results of this outreach and then for this to be provided as an input to the post-implementation review that we're just starting now on IFRS 3. So the committee received that, discussed that, and that has now been passed on to the team working on the post-implementation review of IFRS 3. So those were the things I wanted to highlight from the newsletter. Are there any other questions that anybody has?
Going back to IS 12 and the question raised by Jan as to whether to live through a standard amendment or interpretation. Isn't there a risk that all the items which relate to IS-12, which have been parked waiting for a complete revision of the standard, might come up again, and people would say, well, you deal with one specific point and you don't address all those issues which are pending on IS-12, so what's the reason for giving a priority in terms of the amendment to the standard to that one item and not deal with other ones? If you dealt with an interpretation, maybe that could be very focused, and that would not raise maybe such expectations by people to regarding the long list of questions on IS-12.
You know, there are a number of issues that people have with IS-12, and in fact there are another couple of issues that we're working on currently related to that standard. Scope is always a question and a challenge for whether we are looking at interpretation or a narrow scope amendment or an annual improvement. We judge these issues based on the outreach that we perform about the prevalence of the issue and diversity in practice. And so as a result of considering that outreach and the collective experience of the Interpretations Committee, that the committee makes a judgment as to whether this is an issue that it ought to deal with. You're right, there's always the need to consider whether there are other factors or other issues too.
I just fear that we will create some frustrations among people who believe that their own submission or their own demand for changing the standard is as much as or more present than the one that the IFRIC proposes to deal with. So that's my...
We go.
I offer a general comment on the proposed attentive agenda decision related to IPO. I fully agree with the IFIF decision, you know, not add into agenda. They relate to IS-1, you know, non-current assets held for sale. And you know, the reason why I fully agree with it is because, you know, different countries have different review and approval process. If we want to, you know, give some guidance purely based on particular requirement, it will be dangerous. So I fully agree with. And my general comment is, you know, recently we have issues about levies. It's also related to a particular regulatory decision or recent regulatory development. Also, we have recent issue about novation. My general comment is we really should be very careful in the future, you know, to provide a guidance purely because some kind of regulatory changes. And this is why I fully support the IFIC decision on this issue.
Patricia? Just coming back to this issue about the IAS 12 amendment. And this board decided in December that it should amend IAS 12 for this issue. Michael, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the Interpretations Committee try to do an interpretation? Wasn't it already exposed as part of an annual improvement?
It was exposed as an annual improvement, that's right.
And we got back a lot of comments that made it clear that the way we were going was considered more than an annual improvement, and then the paper came to the board, and the board said, yes, they're right, the only way to do this is an amendment, and we sent it back to Interpretations Committee once already?
That's right, yes.
Okay. Let's continue.
Then Leo.
Yeah, no.
Yes, thank